The Abandoned Wife, Lucian. Chapter 21. Estella obediently reached out her injured hand to him. When he saw the wound on her hand, he knitted his brows. What happened? Were you bullied by the other kids? Estella stiffened for a second before shaking her head vigorously. She wasn't bullied. Lucian was confused. Then what happened? One was. Estella then picked up her pencil and slowly wrote a few letters on her book -dreeped. She then cocked her head to the side, a little dubious of what she had just written. It was too difficult for her to spell it out. Whenever she could not spell out a word, she would usually try to spell it according to how it sounded. Or she would just skip the word. However, she did not often write out that word, so she was unsure if she actually spelled it right or not. Did you trip? Lucian asked after looking at the word she wrote. Estella nodded. Lucian then let out a sigh of relief and gently touched the spot she hurt herself at. Did the teacher treat your wound? Estella nodded again. Lucian nodded before his eyes drifted toward her fair little hands again. This will take days to heal, and you need to treat the wound. I'll help you, okay? Estella did not reject him. Immediately, Lucian crouched down and lifted her into his arms before going down the stairs. Once they reached the living room, he placed her on his lap and sat on the couch. At the same time, he said to Catalina, "Bring the medical kit over." Catalina nodded in response. It did not take her long before she brought the kit over. Lucian then took out a spray from inside and sprayed it at her bruise. Then, he massaged the area for a while. It was quite a bad bruise. Even though it had been hours since the initial impact, it still hurt. Nevertheless, Estella did not kick up a fuss. She just pursed her lips as her brows furrowed. Lucian turned to study her expression every once in a while to see if he was hurting her. He lost himself in his thoughts when he saw her frowning face. Saw. She looks a little like that woman when she's solemn. Sensing her father's gaze, Estella looked up at him, baffled. Instantly, she spotted his injured lips and she pointed at them with a look of confusion. It was easy to understand what she meant. She was asking him how he had gotten hurt. Lucian held her hand and replied, "It's fine. A wild kitty bit me." A wild kitty? Estella became even more confounded. She grabbed the pencil and paper on the coffee table and wrote, "Where did the cat come from?" Lucian's eyes darkened a little. From overseas. That was all he was willing to say. He was afraid that he would not be able to suppress his fury around his daughter. When he noticed the perplexed look on her face, he reached out to take away the pencil and paper in her hands. "Let's not talk about this anymore. It's almost time. I'll bring you to bed now." Estella was still curious about the matter, but she decided not to prod further at her father's words. Obediently, she let her father carry her upstairs. The two children were still awake when Roxanne went home. Madeline was keeping them company as they watched the television. The moment she entered, the two children looked away from the screen and ran over to her. "Mommy." Roxanne smiled and patted their heads. "Did you drink?" Archie smelled the alcohol on her and scrunched up his nose. "I'll make a hangover remedy for you. Now. That way, your head won't hurt when you wake the next morning." With that said, he turned and went into the kitchen. Benny brought her all the way to the couch and made her sit before he climbed onto his mother's lap. As he solemnly massaged her temples, he asked, "I'll massage your head for you so that you won't feel that bad." Madeline could not help but feel jealous at how sensible the children were despite their young age. "Why? Are my godsons so sweet?" Roxanne smiled and looked at her. "Do you like them? Have one yourself." Hearing that, Madeline quickly shook her head. "Forget it then. the one I give birth to might not be as sensible as Archie and Benny. I just want to steal the ones from you." As Benny continued to massage his mother's temples, he consoled his godmother, Aunt Madeline. "There's no need to steal us. If you're drunk, Archie and I will surely take care of you in this way too." Hearing that, Madeline wanted to carry the boy up and kiss him. However, the two boys were busy, and she could only squeeze out, "You boys are the best. I love you two to death." Roxanne shuddered from the cheesiness. She then took the hangover remedy that Archie gave her and slowly sipped on it. By the time she was done with the concoction, it was already late at night. "All right, I'm fine now. Hurry upstairs to rest." Roxanne kissed the foreheads of her two sons. The two boys nodded and bid Madeline good night before they went up the stairs. Chapter 22. Once the two boys were upstairs, the smile on Roxanne's face slowly faded. Madeline turned off the television and inched over to ask in concern, "What's the matter? Something on your mind?" After a moment of hesitation, Roxanne told Madeline a light-hearted version of what happened earlier. "I met Lucien when I was having dinner just now." There was no one but Madeline who Roxanne could talk to about what happened 6 years ago. Upon hearing that, Madeline froze. Then, she whispered, "What kind of fate is tying you both together? Horrington is such a big city, and I thought the chances of the two of you meeting would be close to zero. If you're not actively seeking each other out." Roxanne lowered her eyes, seemingly deep in her thoughts. "So, what are you thinking about after meeting him?" Madeline continued querying. The corners of Roxanne's lip turned down. "What can possibly be on my mind? My relationship with him has ended 6 years ago. We're nothing but strangers now. I won't be affected by him anymore. All I want to do for the rest of my days is to take care of Archie and Benny and have a good life with them." It seemed like she had thought things through. Madeline sighed in relief before patting her good friend's shoulders. "That's good. You're an excellent woman, and there are plenty of people courting you. Take your time to make your pick. Let's leave that douchebag in the past." Roxanne gave her a slight nod, not wanting to continue with the topic. She then said, "By the way, I haven't had the chance to buy a car after coming back here. I had to get rides from my co-workers for the welcome party today, and it seems rather inconvenient. Are you free next morning to pick a car with me?" Madeline's attention was shifted to the next topic, but she was confused as to why Roxanne wanted to buy a car. "Why do you want to buy a car? I have a few in the garage. Just pick one." Roxanne chuckled as she arched a brow. "Are you really that generous?" After sharing a look, Madeline wrapped her arm around Roxanne's neck and uttered, "Of course. After all, you're my godson's mother. What's mine is yours." "Thank you, then," Roxanne said to her. The two chatted away for a while longer. When they glanced at the time again, it was already quite late. It was then Madeline reluctantly went back to the house next door. After Roxanne washed up, she lay on the bed. However, she could not sleep. It took her a long while of tossing and turning before she entered the dreamlands. In her dream, she returned to the empty room at the waterfront. In the room, Lucien was pinning her against the wall. He was narrowing his eyes and coming closer and closer to her. Just as their lips were about to touch, Roxanne jolted awake, completely drenched in sweat. After waking from that dream, she could no longer sleep. Thus, the next morning, Roxanne had obvious dark eye circles as she sat by her children's side at the dining table while they were having breakfast. "Mommy, did you not sleep well last night?" Archie asked in concern as he stared at his mother's dark circles. Roxanne tensed up a little as she thought about that dream. A few seconds later, She flashed them a leisure smile. Yes. I lost track of time reading documents last night. Her children were observant individuals, and Roxanne was afraid that they would prod her for more information. Hence, she quickly lowered her head and pretended to focus on eating breakfast. At that, the two boys exchanged a look but asked nothing else. All they said was, "Don't tire yourself out too much, Mommy. You have to take good care of yourself." Roxanne's lips curved as she bobbed her head in agreement. After breakfast, she brought the boys to Madeline's place again. "Choose anything you like. Don't worry about anything." Madeline brought them to her garage as she held onto the whole bunch of car keys in her hands. The boys were young, but they could recognize quite an amount of luxury cars. Therefore, once they laid eyes on the cars in the garage, they applauded and cried out, "Aunt Madeline, you're amazing." After walking around the garage, Roxanne chose a mid-ranged priced Mercedes-Benz that was worth over $1 million. Madeline gave her the keys without any trace of hesitance. Once Roxanne got the car, she drove the two to their kindergarten. "Bye, Mommy. Don't overwork yourself," the two said to her after they went down from the car. Roxanne ruffled their hair. "You too. Be good at school. I'll come and pick you up at night." The two boys nodded obediently and walked into the kindergarten together. Roxanne only left after watching the two disappear from her line of sight. She then started the car and slowly drove away from the kindergarten's gate. Minutes later, a Rolls-Royce rolled up in front of the kindergarten's entrance. Caden came down from the car before opening the door to the back seat. Then, he carefully carried Estella down. Once Estella's feet were on the ground, she turned to wave at her father. "Go in now," Lucian softly said to her as he patted her head. Estella nodded in response before turning to leave. Suspicion crept into Lucian's eyes as he watched Estella leave the car. Estella seemed much happier than usual. Maybe she's letting down her guard after interacting with the kids in the kindergarten. It seems like the psychiatrist was right. Her autistic symptoms will improve if I let her interact more with her peers. Chapter 23. Lucian only took his gaze off Estella after the teacher picked her up. He then said to Caden, "Let's go." Caden bobbed his head and drove toward Farwell Group's office. Once Lucian arrived at his destination, he hurriedly went to join the executive meeting. By the time the meeting was over, more than an hour had passed. Lucian went straight back to his office. "Lucian, you're back." Just as he stepped into the room, he was greeted by Aubrey's voice. Hearing her made him knit his brows. Then, he saw that Aubrey, who was in a black suit, was standing in front of his office desk with a smile. It seemed like she had been waiting for a while. "When did you come?" Lucian strode to the other side of his desk before letting his eyes drift past the documents on the table. Finally, he landed his gaze on Aubrey's face. Aubrey sat down when she saw him sit, the smile on her face never once wavered. "Not long ago, I heard from Caden that you were in a meeting." Just then, she spotted the scab by the corner of Lucian's lips, and her heart lurched. "Did you hurt your lips?" A flash of displeasure danced across Lucian's eyes at the reminder of the incident the night before, and his tone turned colder. "I accidentally bit it. There's no need for you to freak out over it." Aubrey nodded with slight hesitance. She consoled herself by telling herself that there were no other women around Lucian but her for all those years. Therefore, her suspicion was just paranoia. With that thought in mind, she finally felt a little more at ease. "So why are you here?" Lucian asked in a flat tone. Hearing that, Aubrey recomposed herself and smiled again. "I have some work matters. The project our families were working on is only missing the last step of signing the contract. So I've come to ask if there are any other terms. Also, my parents were asking if they can invite you for a meal tonight. Your parents will be there too, so I was wondering if you're free for that. They invited my parents too. Without a doubt, they must want to urge us to hurry up with our wedding. Lucian glanced at her before muttering icily, "Please tell your parents that I need to meet someone tonight, so I won't be free." The smile on Aubrey's face froze. For a moment, she did not know how to respond to him. Indeed, their aim for the dinner was to urge them to quicken their marriage. It was something that should have been done a few years ago. She finally managed to hold out until Roxanne was gone, but Lucian kept delaying the matter with work matters. After that, he used Estella as an excuse to delay the wedding further. By then, 6 years had already passed. Aubrey had been waiting for so long, but the conclusion had yet to come. How could she possibly not feel anxious? Even now, Lucian was still postponing the matter. The corners of Aubrey's lips tilted downward as she looked bitterly at the man in front of her. Lucian. I've been waiting for 6 years. How many 6 years can a woman have? I don't mind waiting for you, of course, but if it's fated that the two of us will be together, why do you still not want to do the wedding? At the very least, the elders in our families will feel reassured. As she spoke, Aubrey carefully watched Lucian's expression. When she noticed that he seemed unfazed, she steeled herself and added, "We've been planning for the wedding since the start, so why?" "I did make a promise to wed you," Lucian coldly interrupted her. "But you, of all people, should know why I ended up promising you that." Fear pulsed through Aubrey when she registered his expression. "I think the Farwell family has made more than enough compensation to the Pearson family throughout all these years. As a matter of fact, the compensation made has far exceeded the worth of this engagement. Even if we did not proceed with this engagement, no one will say anything about it." Lucian's voice was neutral the entire time. Evidently, it was a speech he had long prepared. When Aubrey heard that, she widened her eyes in disbelief as fresh terror reared up within her. Clearly, Lucian wanted to break off the engagement. Chapter 24. After Lucian said those words, he looked away from Aubrey's face. He had decided to marry Aubrey back then to repay the favor her grandfather had done for them. That was why he interacted with the Pearson family so closely. That was also why he had agreed to marry Aubrey when the elders of the family suggested it. In fact, for a while, Lucian was sure that Aubrey was his first crush. That lasted until 6 years ago when that woman left without saying anything. It was then he realized that the feeling he had for Aubrey was not love as he initially assumed. After that, the elders of both families kept urging him to marry her, but he had found all kinds of excuses to delay the wedding. In those 6 years, he had also done everything he could to assist the Pearson family and agreed to all kinds of business requests they made to repay them for the kindness back then. Now, it seemed like he had done more than enough to repay them for that favor back then. At the very least, it was enough for him not to proceed with the wedding. Lucian. Aubrey's voice trembled as she looked at his expressionless face. She wanted to find out if her guesses were right. Lucian lifted his hand to massage the bridge of his nose. Then, he cut her off, "Put down the file. I'll look at it later. I still have work to do, so if there isn't anything else, you can leave." Aubrey bit her lip and stared at him for a moment. When she realized that he was not going to change his mind, her eyes slowly reddened. Still, she forced the upset and sorrow down her throat, put down the file, and left. Aubrey's mood was grim as she exited the Farwell Group's office. She had been waiting for 6 years, but Lucian never once gave her a proper answer. Now, he was telling her that he was planning to call off the wedding. Fortunately, Aubrey was certain that there were no other women around Lucien. In other words, she still had a chance with him. With that thought in mind, Aubrey's grave expression lightened up a little. "Yes, I still have a chance. The wedding is only unsalvageable if I make Lucien frustrated with me. I have to stay calm." As Aubrey consoled herself, she entered the car. "Are you heading back to the company?" Her assistant, Charles Lampton, was tentative as he spoke to his employer, for he noticed the look on her face. Aubrey glanced at him. "No, I'll be having lunch outside. Haven't we agreed to meet VR Research Institute to sign the contract in the afternoon? We're going back only after signing the contract." Charles nodded. At 2 in the afternoon, Roxanne and Colby departed from the Research Institute to the destination, where they had agreed to meet the crude drug supplier. On their way there, Roxanne abruptly recalled that she had yet to find out the details about their business partner. Thus, she asked Colby, "Can you tell me the details about the crude drug supplier that we're about to sign with?" She was the person in charge of the Research Institute. If she knew nothing about the crude drug supplier, the other party might think that she was not serious enough about the deal when they met later. In that case, her ignorance might affect their collaboration. Knowing what was on Roxanne's mind, Colby explained in detail, "This crude drug supplier is massive. In Horrington, their family established itself by running crude drug businesses. Moreover, the prices that this crude drug supplier has are reasonable. Furthermore, after they found out that our Research Institute has a certain level of influence in the market abroad, they became interested to work with us. They seem sincere, so don't worry about that." Hearing that, Roxanne inclined her head in understanding. Simultaneously, she breathed out an inaudible sigh of relief. "I know the few major crude drug suppliers in Horrington. According to your explanation, the one we're signing with should be one of them. I wonder which one is the one we're about to meet with." Chapter 25. Roxanne stiffened immediately. The Pearson family. As far as she knew, there was only one Pearson family in Horrington who was in the crude drug industry. Coincidentally, that was the family she had some issues with. At that though, Roxanne creased her forehead and prayed that she would not be unfortunate enough to encounter the one she did not want to meet the most. Soon, they arrived at their destination, a cafe. The people from the crude drug supplier had yet to arrive. Colby and Roxanne took a seat first. They then ordered 2 cups of coffee and waited for the other party to arrive. Dozens of minutes later, someone knocked on the door of the private room. Colby straightened up and said to Roxanne, "They're here." Roxanne gave him a quick nod. Rising to her feet, she then said, "Please come in." Soon, someone pushed the door open, and a male voice traveled into their ears. "Sorry that we're late." The moment Roxanne lifted her head, she locked eyes with Aubrey. Instantly, Roxanne sighed in her mind. Speak of the devil. Unlike her, Aubrey widened her eyes in shock. As she was overwhelmed by surprise, she screeched out, "You Roxanne? Why is it you? Didn't you disappear a long time ago? Why are you here now?" Colby and Charles were baffled by Aubrey's response. Colby then asked in a curious but friendly tone, "Ms. Pearson, do you know Dr. Jarvis?" Aubrey's eyes flitted toward Colby. "Dr. Jarvis? Roxanne Jarvis is the person in charge of our Research Institute. When she found out that we're signing a contract with you, she has asked to come along as a sign of our sincerity," Colby introduced. However, Aubrey's expression only turned even darker. All she wanted to know was when Roxanne had returned. "It's Lucien's first time telling me that he's thinking of calling off the wedding this morning. Is this Because of Roxanne? Has he found out that Roxanne's back? Have they met each other? The more Aubrey dwelled on it, the more anxious she became, as she stared at Roxanne, her expression darkened and paled. On the other hand, Roxanne was much calmer. It was as if it was her first time seeing Aubrey. She glanced at her and frowned before straightforwardly asking, "Ms. Pearson, are you not planning to continue with our collaboration?" Hearing her, Aubrey swiftly tucked away her emotions and looked at her for a moment. As her expression turned icy, the look in her eyes changed into an amused one as well. "Of course I'm planning to continue. Dr. Galloway has been working on this contract for such a long time. I won't let his efforts go to waste." With that, she summoned the waiter and ordered another 4 cups of coffee. While they were waiting for the coffee, Aubrey's darkened gaze lingered on Roxanne. Despite her unwillingness to admit it, Roxanne had changed a lot after 6 years. In the past, she had a cautious demeanor, but now, all she needed to do was sit there, and anyone could feel how intimidating she was. Her looks and presence were overpowering Aubrey. On the other hand, 6 years had gone by, and Aubrey had never changed. The man she nearly had was now getting further and further away from her. When she realized that, Aubrey's hands under the table tightened into fists as jealousy coursed through her veins. "I truly wish to work with your institute, but I don't think the price we negotiated previously is a suitable one. Since Dr. Jarvis is here, I think we can discuss the price again." Even though Aubrey had a professional smile on her face, the look in her eyes was a glacial one. Upon hearing her, Colby parted his lips, about to speak, but Roxanne stopped him. She calmly asked, "Ms. Pearson, what you mean? I hope we can have an increment of 2% of the original price," Aubrey uttered. Chapter 26. An increment of 2%. Colby stiffened. "Ms. Pearson, haven't we come to an agreement the other time? We're now about to sign the contract, so why are you increasing the price all of a sudden?" At his shocked response, Aubrey folded her legs and replied, "Indeed, we've agreed on it, but almost everything in the crude drug market has risen in price this year. If we were to sign the contract with the price we previously agreed on, we'll be suffering a loss too great. Dr. Galloway, please forgive us." She made it seem so rational. Colby's expression tensed. Just as he frowned and was about to say something else, Roxanne stopped him again. "Ms. Pearson, you must want to suddenly raise the price because you saw me. I know the prices in the crude drug market well. We can have a negotiation if you want to increase prices, but raising it by 2% right here and now is far too unreasonable." Roxanne wanted to be professional, but clearly, Aubrey did not. Hence, there was no need for her to endure her antics. Aubrey knitted her brows in displeasure. She then coldly asked, "Regardless of what the reason is, that is our current price. If you don't think that's suitable, we won't mind letting this business deal go." Roxanne agreed to it. "In that case, let's take this as time wasted. A company that doesn't stick to its words isn't a company we'll be at ease working with." With that said, Roxanne stood up and said to Colby, "Let's go." Colby nodded, and the two exited the cafe. "Is there something between you and Aubrey?" Colby could not help but ask when they left the place. He could sense Aubrey's clear hostility toward Roxanne during their meeting earlier. Not wanting to dwell on what happened back then, Roxanne simply said, in a way. Noticing that she did not want to talk much about the topic, Colby did not prod her for more. Instead, he began talking about the crude drug supplier matter. "If we're not going to work with Pearson Group, we'll have to find another crude drug supplier." Roxanne bobbed her head. "Then that's what we're going to do. Horrington is a big place. I'm sure there are other crude drug suppliers who will work with us. Okay, Colby answered with a nod. He would rather deal with the trouble of looking for a new crude drug supplier than to see Roxanne targeted by someone. Meanwhile, in the cafe, once Roxanne was gone, a cold look crept onto Aubrey's face. She ordered, "Charles, tell all of the crude drug suppliers in Horrington that, if they dare to work with VR Research Institute, they'll be enemies of Pearson Group." Charles did not know what happened between his employer and the Dr. Carlier, but he could sense that his employer was in an exceptionally foul mood after meeting Roxanne. A shudder racked his body upon hearing Aubrey's tone. Without daring to delay any further, he replied, "Of course. I'll work on it right away." With that said, he stood up and left. Soon, Aubrey was the only one left in the cafe. When she thought about the attitude Lucian had earlier in the morning and the frightening demeanor Roxanne had a while ago, Aubrey panicked. Regardless of whether or not Lucian had rejected her because of Roxanne, it was a fact that Roxanne and Lucian were married in the past. Aubrey could not be certain what Lucian thought about Roxanne. If things continued to be delayed, she dared not imagine what else would happen. "I can't wait any longer." Meanwhile, at Farwell Group. "Mr. Farwell, I've found out information about the man Ms. Jarvis was with last night." Caden entered the room and stood in front of Lucian. Chapter 27. Lucian immediately put away his work and asked worriedly, "Who is he?" Images of Roxanne leaving with a stranger last night started flashing before his eyes. "The man's name is Colby, and he's the person in charge of the VR Research Institute. Previously, Mr. Farwell went to him for medical treatment." Caden instinctively picked up the sudden change of ambience in the room, and he became extremely wary with his words. "Besides, I also found out that Colby is still single. But by the look of things, Ms. Jarvis is not in any way related to him. The other possibility is that they knew each other when they were studying medicine in the same university." Being made aware of the possibility, Lucian's facial expression softened. "Besides this, did you manage to find out about anything else?" Caden appeared to be in a dilemma. "This is the extent of my investigation. Regarding Ms. Jarvis, we only know that she returned to the country recently. As to what she did and where she was overseas, we have not been able to find anything at the moment." Lucian furrowed his brows, displeased by the answer. However, knowing that it would be futile to pry further, he decided to change the topic of the conversation. "How is old Mr. Queen now?" Caden was about to apologize for his incompetence but heaved a sigh of relief when Lucian started asking about old Mr. Queen. "It doesn't look good for him. They've consulted all the famous doctors from inside and outside of the country, but they were helpless." Lucian nodded slightly. "Reschedule my agenda planned for tomorrow night. I want to pay a visit to old Mr. Queen." "Understood," replied Caden. Caden, upon being certain that there were no further instructions, left after waiting for a while. When they just arrived at the Research Institute, Roxanne and Colby sprang into action and hurriedly contacted all the medical ingredient suppliers in Horrington. Due to the lack of supplies, many projects in the Research Institute had to be held in abeyance. If this were to continue, the losses would spiral out of control. Hence, time was of the essence for them to collaborate with a medical ingredient supplier. Before this, Colby tried contacting the suppliers in Horrington, but his proposal was rejected instantly. However, since they ran out of options, they were forced to test their luck once again. "VR Research Institute? I thought we had this conversation before? Your asking price is too low. We are not interested to collaborate with you. Just as Roxanne mentioned the name of the research institute, the rejection from the other end of the phone call was instantaneous. Roxanne gritted her teeth. "We can increase the price from our original offer. What about an increase of half a decimal point? Let's try to work out a feasible plan, and there's always room for negotiations." The person interjected and said, "It's still too low. We need to increase at least 3 decimal points or else. There's no room for negotiation." Hearing such bold demand, Roxanne hung up promptly. Meanwhile, Colby's expression didn't look pleasant either. "I'm so sorry, Dr. Galloway. All of our supplies have been booked by someone else. We do not have any extra at the moment." The answer was obviously an excuse, which indicated the other person's unwillingness to collaborate. Colby simply responded, "All right, I understand." He then hung up the phone after that. After an entire day of cold calling, there was no positive news even until the next afternoon. Though the suppliers responded differently, some courteous and the others impatient, the conclusion that resulted from the phone calls was that none of the suppliers were willing to collaborate. Even worse, one of the suppliers made it expressly clear to Roxanne that they would never collaborate with the VR Research Institute. But the reason for that was not disclosed. It was clear as daylight that they were sabotaged by someone in the dark. As such, the culprit could be none other than Aubrey. Chapter 28. Roxanne couldn't help but feel irritated. Ultimately, she was being sabotaged and the projects in the Research Institute could not proceed because of this. She never expected that Aubrey's vengeance toward her persisted even after 6 years. Even worse, Aubrey resorted to such atrocious tactics to get back at her. However, it was not the time for her to be bothered by emotions. Roxanne clenched her fists in an attempt to calm herself down. She then looked toward Colby and said, "It's okay. If Horrington is not the solution to our problem, then we can try other cities. Surely, someone must be willing to collaborate with us." Be that as it may, it also meant that the costs and time needed to achieve it would be higher. While Roxanne did not mention it, she was very much aware of the consequences. She too hoped to find a suitable partner in Horrington. However, the prospect of doing so seemed quite bleak. "No, there's no need to head to other cities," Colby uttered. He appeared to have thought of something, and his tone relaxed. Roxanne arched a brow. "Are you saying that there's someone in Horrington that is willing to collaborate with us? The small suppliers are definitely out of the picture, and we need someone with larger operations." Colby nodded. "I know. However, this might require you to personally attend to it." Roxanne was perplexed. Colby then said, "I heard it from you actually. But first things first, have you heard of the Queen family?" Colby continued, "The Queen family supplies medicine and built an empire out of it. The Queen family is a prominent family in Horrington, and old Mr. Queen has a good reputation in the community. However, his health has been deteriorating lately. Because of this, the Queen family has been looking for doctors to cure him, but to no avail. They invited me to try out, but I couldn't do much. However, you might stand a chance in this." "Is that so?" Roxanne replied. She understood what he meant but was nevertheless hesitant. "The Queen family are in the big leagues. When it comes to the pricing, it will not necessarily be lower than what we are being offered right now." Colby replied, "Before this, the Aoyen family offered expensive medicines as a reward for whoever can cure old Mr. Queen of his condition. In the future, they can also come up with an arrangement to supply medicine at half the price." Roxanne's eyes glistened with hope and she felt the boulder being lifted off her shoulders. "Why didn't you say this earlier? That's a great thing." Colby beamed. I thought about it, but admittedly I'm not good enough. Besides, you were not bare back then. Hence, I gave up and never thought about it until now. Perhaps you can give it a try. What do you think? Of course. Not a problem at all. Roxanne confidently stood up to urge him. Please help me contact the Queen family and help me make an appointment with them. Looking at Roxanne's passion for matters that concern the Research Institute, Colby's heart surged with a sense of relief. He smiled and said, I'll do that now. Wait for me here. Then, he exited the office and pulled out his phone. Meanwhile, Roxanne sat quietly in the office and waited. Irrespective of how complex the treatment would be, Roxanne was determined to cure old Mr. Queen. Soon after, Colby returned. How did it go? Roxanne eagerly asked. Colby nodded. We still have a chance. The Queen family has yet to find a doctor that can cure old Mr. Queen's condition. Knowing that I have someone to recommend, they agreed to let you visit without any hesitation. When are we heading there? Roxanne continued asking. Tonight, replied Colby. Roxanne agreed immediately. The timing was perfect, as she too wanted to go there as soon as possible. I need your help. Please let me know all the symptoms that old Mr. Queen has. I will need to make the necessary preparations. Roxanne became serious the moment she spoke about medicine. Colby obliged. Chapter 29. Alfred's condition was quite complicated. It was why the famous doctors weren't sure what to do. Just describing his illness alone took Colby a long while to finish. At 6 in the evening, after Roxanne got off work, she went to the Queen residence alone according to the address given to her by Colby. The person who opened the door was a middle-aged man dressed in a butler's outfit. He looked at Roxanne and politely asked, "Greetings. May I ask who are you?" Roxanne smiled. "Hello, I'm the doctor who's here to treat old Mr. Queen. I called during the afternoon." The butler scrutinized her suspiciously because she looked pretty young. Is someone as young as her that capable? Still, he didn't show his doubts on his face. After 2 seconds, he invited, "Since you're a doctor, please follow me inside." He turned and guided Roxanne in. She didn't mind that he doubted her. One of her principles was that before she treated a patient, she would accept any form of distrust. She followed the butler into the courtyard. The structure and decor of the courtyard looked elegant. It clearly showed the Queen family was a family that cared a lot about appearances. After they entered the mansion, the butler gestured for her to take a seat on the couch. A visitor came by earlier, and Mr. Queen is accompanying them to meet old Mr. Queen. I'll let them know you've arrived. Please wait here. Roxanne nodded. All right. She then sat on the couch. Soon after, a housekeeper served coffee to her. A few minutes passed, and she heard footsteps descending the stairs. She put her cup down and turned to the staircase. A young couple strolled down the stairs. At first glance, both of them looked quite familiar. The man was handsome, and the woman was beautiful. It was likely they were a pair of siblings. As they walked, they were speaking to someone behind them. It must be the visitor the butler mentioned earlier. Roxanne's line of sight followed them until she could see the visitor. It was a tall, handsome man. In his embrace was a child. He was currently talking to the siblings in front of him with a relaxed expression. The man slowly turned his side toward her, as though he noticed she was staring. Her heart thumped uncontrollably when their eyes met. Lucian. I didn't expect to see him here. Memories of what happened that night rushed into her mind. Roxanne's eyes trembled as she almost couldn't bear to look straight at him. She only calmed down after clenching her fists forcefully. Upon taking in a deep breath, she pretended as though nothing happened and stared at the siblings. On the stairs, Lucian paused and narrowed his eyes at the woman sitting on the couch. His gaze was fixed on her face as though he was trying to confirm something. When she looked away, his gaze darkened. "It really is Roxanne. I thought she was someone else. Why is she here?" He was a little puzzled, but he didn't show it on his face. "What's wrong, Lucian?" The man in front of him turned back to ask when he stopped moving. Lucian looked away upon hearing that and answered emotionlessly, "It's nothing. Let's go." The man in front nodded puzzledly as the trio continued to descend the stairs. Chapter 30. Soon, the trio arrived in front of Roxanne. In Lucian's arms, Estella stared at the beautiful lady in front of her. A rare expression of joy appeared on her face. Roxanne wasn't sure how to react to being stared at by the father and daughter duo. Thankfully, the man in front of Lucian spoke first to break the silence. "Are you the doctor? Recommended by Dr. Galloway to treat old Mr. Queen." Roxanne adjusted her expression and smiled. "Yes. My name's Roxanne Jarvis. Dr. Jarvis." The man stretched his hand out. "I'm Jonathan Queen. This here is my sister, Frida Queen." When he finished, he turned to Lucian. "This is, well, we regard him as our elder brother. His last name is Farwell." Roxanne tried to nod calmly and greeted, "Mr. Queen, Ms. Queen, Mr. Farwell." The moment she finished speaking, Lucian's crisp and meaningful chuckle rang out. There was a mocking tone in the laughter. Roxanne lowered her head to hide the emotions in her eyes. Frida studied her briefly before furrowing her eyebrows. She questioned, "You're the one who said you can treat my grandpa's condition, right? You look about as young as us, though. I doubt you have been working as a doctor for long. Are you sure you can do it?" Her attitude mirrored the one the butler had earlier. However, since it came from the patient's family member, Roxanne didn't mind her doubt. Before she could explain, Jonathan smiled apologetically. "I'm sorry. My grandpa's condition has been getting quite serious. We've hired all sorts of famous doctors in and out of the country, yet none of them could do anything. Our sister is simply worried that our grandfather will suffer even further. After all, a lot of doctors had given us false hope. It has happened enough times that we can't help but be cautious. I hope you don't mind, Dr. Jarvis." He then shot a glare at Frida. "Dr. Jarvis is here to treat Grandpa. How can you be so rude toward her? Apologize to her right now." Frida unwillingly looked away and muttered in a small voice, "I'm sorry." Roxanne didn't mind that at all. When she heard the apology, she smiled. "It's fine. After all, you two are his family members. I understand that you have concerns. However, I assure you I'm capable. I may be young and I might not look like a doctor with years of experience under my belt, but I've researched many complicated diseases abroad. My experience isn't as plenty as doctors who had been in the profession for decades, but I'm confident in my abilities." When she finished, she pulled out a document from her bag and handed it to Jonathan. "This contains my achievements over the years. You can take a look yourself before deciding if I'm qualified to treat old Mr. Queen." Jonathan didn't expect she would be that prepared. When he reprimanded Frida earlier, he himself didn't trust Roxanne that much either. However, after seeing how confident she appeared and spoke, it was enough to convince him that she was capable even without looking at her credentials. Still, his responsibility for taking care of Alfred and curiosity about Roxanne compelled him to grab the documents to take a look. Before he could touch the document, a chiseled hand suddenly reached out and snatched the Document away.